Chapter 4. The Quantum Atom. Slagelse, Denmark, Thursday, 1st of August, 1912. The cobbled streets of the small, picturesque town some 50 miles southwest of Copenhagen were decked out in flags. Yet it was not in the beautiful medieval church, but in the civic hall that Niels Bohr and Margrethe Nerland were married in a 2-minute ceremony conducted by the chief of police. The mayor was away on holiday, Harold was best man, and only close family were present. Like his parents before him, Bohr did not want a religious ceremony. He had stopped believing in God as a teenager when he had confessed to his father, "I cannot understand how I could be so taken in by all this. It means nothing whatsoever to me." Had he lived, Christian Bohr would have approved when, a few months before the wedding, his son formally resigned from the Lutheran Church. Originally intending to spend their honeymoon in Norway, the couple were forced to change their plans as Bohr failed to finish a paper on alpha particles in time. Instead, the newlyweds traveled to Cambridge for a 2-week stay during their month-long honeymoon. In between visits to old friends and showing Margrethe around Cambridge, Bohr completed his paper. It was a joint effort. Niels dictated, always struggling for the right word to make his meaning clear, while Margrethe corrected and improved his English. They worked so well together that for the next few years Margrethe effectively became his secretary. Bohr disliked writing and avoided doing so whenever he could. He was able to complete his doctoral thesis only by dictating it to his mother. "You mustn't help Niels so much. You must let him learn to write himself," his father had urged, to no avail. When he did put pen to paper, Bohr wrote slowly and in an almost indecipherable scrawl. "First and foremost," recalled a colleague, "he found it difficult to think and write at the same time. He needed to talk, to think aloud as he developed his ideas. He thought best while on the move, usually circling a table. Later, an assistant, or anyone he could find for the task, would sit with pen poised as he paced about, dictating in one language or other. Rarely satisfied with the composition of a paper or lecture, Bohr would rewrite it up to a dozen times. The end result of this excessive search for precision and clarity was often to lead the reader into a forest where it was difficult to see the wood for the trees."